Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. If you find Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, then you'll see Daniel, and then you'll see Hosea. It's on page 1057. If you have the same Bible I do. Chapter 5, please. I want to read just one verse to you this morning, and that's the 10th verse. If you will follow along as I read. Verse 10 says, "The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound." A bound is a boundary. All right, a boundary. "The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water." I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, "Don't Cross the Boundary." Don't cross the boundary. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. And Father, we're thankful that we can gather here. We still have the freedom to do that. I am getting a little worried as time goes on, that we're going to be monitored as to what we say when we're here, and that there might be repercussions if we say what some don't like. And so, Lord, I pray that you will preserve our freedom and bless our country. And, Father, we have so many needs. We don't even know where to start. But there are so many needs. There are church members who have passed away and their families are hurting. Then there are church members who have family who have passed away and they're hurting. And Lord, our dear brother Ernie Reed down in the hospital waiting for surgery, and so many needs. Lord, I pray that you will just bless and be with our folks. Lord, we're thankful for answers to prayer. And Lord, just thank you for the grace and goodness that you give us. And we're so undeserving, but yet, Lord, you bless, and how thankful we are. And Lord, we prayed for Brother Newbeck, and he had a heart transplant, and now he's here this morning. And how we thank you for that answer to prayer, and how you blessed. And Lord, just so many needs. And I pray that you'll meet needs in our hearts this morning. Answer questions for us. Convict our hearts of the need to be on your side of the boundary. Not to cross the boundary that you have established. So Lord, help us to think biblically this morning. And as we go to the polls on Tuesday, bless now, fill me with your spirit, and help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever the grandchildren come over to spend the night, they usually come. Usually there's a dinner for mom and dad in there somewhere. And then after dinner, the kids will stay and the parents will go home. And so that makes for a long evening of entertainment. And entertain you must do. There is no downtime whatsoever. And Karen bought a bunch of old cartoons on DVD. And when things start bogging down, I'll say, "How about we watch some cartoons?" "Oh yeah, let's watch cartoons." Well, that'll go for an hour, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then they get bored with that. And then they want to color with these really neat crayons that Karen bought. They're like little individual magic markers, really, really neat crayons, and they enjoy those. But after a while, they get bored with those, and then they'll want to play board games. Checkers is their favorite. They like to play checkers. And so I have noticed that especially the three oldest ones, Braden, Ava, and Olivia, they're fine with playing the game until they start losing. And once they realize that they're losing, and you can tell because men start disappearing, pieces start disappearing from their side of the board. And when they start losing, they start changing the rules. And you look sideways at something, and you look back, and there is a crowned person on their side. Nobody moved, but that crown got there somehow. And then I'll say, okay, your move, and they'll move four or five squares to jump one of my men. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's cheating. That's not how the game is played. But I'm losing. Yeah, I know you are, and you're really going to get clobbered here in a minute if you won't cheat. But they will. They just change the rules. And, you know, it occurred to me Monday because the kids were at the house for the hurricane, and we were playing, and Braden didn't like it that he was getting clean mopped up with on the checkerboard. So he changed the rules, and the game just fell apart. And, you know, that's what always happens when you change the rules. Can you imagine playing a football game? I mean, you know, could you imagine the football game? And the players just decide, we're going to change the rules. You know, our man can run the ball further if I grab a hold of that linebacker and just hold on to him. If I get a bear hug on him, My running back can run past him. Well, they have rules that you can't hold the defensive player. If you change the rules, then all of a sudden the game falls apart. That's always the way it happens. And that is precisely why God called Hosea to cry out against Judah and warn Judah of the impending judgment that was coming their way. It's because they went outside the boundary. They changed the rules. And God doesn't like it when we change the rules on Him. You see, one reason He doesn't like it is because He's the one that set the rules. Now, if we weren't sinners, there would be no rules. But we're sinners, and therefore we have to have rules. We have to have boundaries. The rules are the boundaries. And as long as we stay inside the rules, then we're fine. We have the freedom and the liberty to enjoy life. Everyone's happy. But the minute you go across the boundary, then you stir the anger of the Lord and you invite reprimand upon yourself. Now look carefully at that 10th verse and you will see that God said, the princes of Judah are like them that remove the bound. In other words, it was the government officials, those running the government, that changed the boundary. And when they did, God poured out His wrath upon them like water. Judah had crossed the boundary line, and so judgment was coming. God is saying, Judah, you are my people, called by my name, and you are supposed to be holy and separated, but you have torn down the wall of separation, and you have become just like the heathens around you. And the end result of removing the boundaries is judgment. Now, we're headed to the polls on Tuesday to cast our vote to decide several things as a nation, as a state, and as a county. We will choose those that we think can best represent us in government. We'll choose a president. We'll choose a vice president. We'll choose congressmen and senators, and then a whole host of others on a local and state level. But we are also asked to vote on some other issues where God has made some very clear boundaries. And yet our elected state officials are asking the citizens of Maryland to go along with their desire to remove the biblical boundary. For instance, the state of Maryland wants us to approve redefining marriage so that it includes that marriage can be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. When God has already placed the boundary where He wants it to be. Marriage is the first institution that was ordained of God. God ordained the institution of marriage in the Garden of Eden, and He did so with one man and one woman. Maryland, since the state's inception, has operated under God's law, under this boundary. And now our governor and his cronies are asking the citizens of this state to tear down God's boundary and sanction homosexual marriage. I have folks ask me through the last several weeks, Pastor, how do we vote on this marriage thing? Well, I'll tell you how to do it. You stand on God's side. You stand on God's side. That's what you do. You vote against approving this direct and blatant destruction of the boundary. Your ballot will ask you, are you for or are you against this amendment? And to redefine marriage, I'm against that. I'm against that. To redefine the boundary, to say, oh no, God, you don't know what you're talking about. We're going to change what you said. That's dangerous ground to be on. And your ballot will ask you if you are for or against redefining a marriage to include gay and lesbian couples. And folks, you ought to vote biblically on that and vote against it. Now, I want you to think of something connected to all this that I'm not sure a lot of folks are considering, but they need to. There are a couple of principles that should guide the way we vote on this. There are a couple of principles that are eternal principles, they do not change, that ought to guide our thoughts when we go and cast our vote on Tuesday. The first one is this: God has made some laws that cannot be changed. All right, let's take the law of gravity. Now, you can say, I'm going to change the law of gravity and I'm going to get everybody to vote in favor of changing this law. Okay, go ahead and do your best, but so help me, you climb up top of that tree and jump out, you go kill yourself. You can't change some laws. The law of centrifugal force, you can't change that. You can say, well, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go around, go in circles with the pedal pressed to the floor, and I'm going to violate God's law of centrifugal force. No, you're not. You're going to flip your car over and hurt yourself. That's what you're going to do. And God has some laws which cannot be changed. God's laws, God's boundaries are found in this book, the Bible. And the reason that you got a bunch of people wanting to change those laws is because they don't believe in the Bible. Well, that doesn't change the fact that the Bible is God's word. And there are some boundaries that when we cross them, we automatically put ourselves in a horrible place where we are simply inviting the judgment hand of God upon us. Take, for example, the matter of salvation from sin. God is very clear on this issue. God said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." You must be. You got to get saved, born again, born from above in order to get to heaven. God said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's God's law. God said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's God's law. God said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, where we get into trouble with God is when we cross that boundary. When folks think they can get to heaven without Jesus, those folks have a problem with their eternity and with God. When folks think that church membership or giving financially or getting baptized or being confirmed or taking communion or feeling tingly in a song service is all that is necessary in order to get saved, that, my friends, is crossing the boundary that God has set. A person must repent of his sin and believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that doesn't change the law now, does it? You say, well, I got my own way of getting to heaven. That's what you think. You just think you do. You're not going to violate God's law and get away with it. You just think you do. No, what you have is your own way of missing heaven and ending up in hell with the wrath and judgment of God being poured out upon you like water. That's what you got. I'm saying you better not get out of bounds. I'm saying don't cross the boundary set by God himself. Because the principle from verse 10, our text, is that when you cross the boundary set by God, you are putting yourself in the direct line of fire for God's judgment. Now, this principle is also true in the area of marriage. And yet we have a governor and a bunch of liberal senators and a bunch of liberal delegates who have decided that they want to cross the boundary that has been set by God. They don't care about the eternal truth of God's word. That's their problem. That's why we even have to deal with this. Because they don't believe in the eternal truth of God's word. They don't care about that. That's the farthest thing from their mind. It is kind of obvious that they don't care about God. They don't care about violating the word of God. It's kind of obvious. And so now here we are as a people having to make that decision. But the people of Maryland will have the final say. They can tear down the boundary and violate God's truth and God's laws, but the citizens of this state need to stand up and say, no. I don't want God's wrath and judgment upon our state. Amen. We have examples, folks, of what happens when men tear down the boundaries. We have examples of that. In Genesis, we see God raining fire and brimstone out of heaven upon the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because of this very thing, the sin of homosexuality. God says it's wickedness. God says it's an abomination. God says it's not natural. Amen. It's not natural. And so if the people of Maryland vote for this wicked bill that redefines marriage and goes against what God has already eternally stated, Maryland is out of bounds. May God help us to be on the right side of this law. You know, in Romans 1, when God was writing the obituary of the human race, he brought an indictment of guilty upon the Sodomites who rejected his truth and who changed the truth of God into a lie. A lie. And God said that because man did not like to retain God in his knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Folks, that's what's going on in our world today. And then in Romans 1:32, God made one of the most stinging indictments against these truth rejectors when he said, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them." I'm telling you, folks, the harshest condemnation in the Bible is when God is speaking out against the sin of sodomy. And for our state to stand in the face of God and ask the people of Maryland to support their agenda of destroying the foundation of the very first institution that was created by Almighty God, I'm here today to tell you that is an abomination. And may God have mercy on those who, in the name of political correctness and who, in the name of fairness, have stood and shook their fists in God's face. Now, there's another eternal principle. Secondly, listen carefully. Staying in the boundary keeps us free.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Staying in the boundaries is what keeps us free. Now, let me illustrate. I can get in my car and I can drive from my house to the church, and it takes about 10 minutes to get here. Now, if I decide that I want to make it in 5 minutes, I can cut my time in half. But if there is a policeman setting out on Luca Ball Mill Road, when I've decided that I'm in a big hurry today, if there's a policeman setting out on Luca Ball Mill Road and I go past him doing 60 in a 35, he's going to pull me over. He's going to chew me out. And he's going to write me a ticket. May even take my key and take my car and take me to jail. And he's going to stop my progress in coming to church. Now, why will he stop me? I tell you why he'll stop me. Because there are boundaries on that road. There are rules. Now, if you don't follow the rules, then you lose your privilege to drive. Unless you're a rock star or a sports player. But you and me, we violate the rules and we lose our privilege. They're called speed limits. Speed limits. I remember one time when I was out in Illinois and Dr. Smith was coming to preach for me. I had the girls with me. Were you with me? I don't know if he was with me or not. I remember the girls being there because Lauren just would not stop after this. Just would not. She thought this was just classic. And there was a speed trap up there, 55 mile an hour. I took the I was going to the airport to get Dr. Smith. He was coming to preach for me Saturday night. And I was going to the airport to pick him up. And rather than go up the interstates and fight all the Chicago traffic, I was taking the back roads. And it would pop you out just right down from the interstate on where the airport was. And so I'm zigzagging all these little country roads, and it was 55 miles an hour, and I knew that on this one little road was not as long as from here to the back entrance of our parking lot. It was that short. And I looked at my watch, and I thought, oh, man, he's going to be landing soon. I got to get there. Well, I was turned on that little road, 35-mile-an-hour speed zone. There was not a house anywhere, nothing. And I went zooming up that road, and I came over a little rise, and as soon as I did, right there was a state policeman. He flipped his light on. As soon as I come over that hill, I just pulled right over in front of him. He got out. He walked over. He said, driver's and registration light, and insurance card. I said, yeah, no problem. I handed him to him. He said, you know why I pulled you over? I said, yeah, I was speeding. He said, you were doing 62 in a 35. I said, wow, was I doing 62? He said, 62 in a 35. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I'm on my way to the airport to pick up a guest, a friend, and I said, my bad. I'm sorry. He turned around, walked back, came back, and gave me a ticket for $175. I looked down at that, $175. I looked up at him, and I said, $175? He said, you were speeding. I said, well, yeah, I was. I said, don't you have some kind of warning system here in this state? You know, in West Virginia, they'll give you a warning ticket, you know, especially if he's a good old boy. I said, don't you have some kind of warning system in this state? Here's what he did, folks. Oh, I could have died. He said, yeah, we do. It's called a speed limit sign. I had pulled over right in front of a speed limit sign. I said, yes, sir. Got it. Yes, sir. He said, now you slow that thing down a little bit. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. He went and got in his car, and I cried to the airport. I was never so embarrassed in all my life. You get outside the boundary, there's a price to pay. Now, had I stayed in under 35 miles an hour, he would have never pulled me over. I could have gone and picked up Dr. Smith, and nothing would have been said. But I had to go tell Dr. Smith. He said, I'm sorry I'm late. Why were you late? I mean, as long as you stay in the boundaries, you're free. But when you get outside the boundaries, you'll find yourself in trouble. And I'm telling you that Maryland is about to get themselves in trouble. We'd better vote biblically on this thing. And you don't want to get in trouble with God. You don't want God mad at you. My Bible tells me that God rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And all because they crossed the boundary. They crossed the law of God. You see, folks, two times, once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament, we read that the Lord our God is a consuming fire. God said to Hosea that they had crossed the boundary and judgment was coming. And it did. It did. And it's still true, folks. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Hebrews 10:31. We have a bunch of anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-truth, anti-Jesus, anti-church, irreligious bunch of spiritual infidels trying their best to remove the boundary and destroy what God Himself has established and created. And I'm just saying, whoa, 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 don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. Go to the polls and cast your vote against this ungodliness that they're trying to do. The same principle that is good enough for the marriage redefinition is good enough for this gambling thing. In Proverbs 13:11, Solomon said, God said through Solomon, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. We need to stay in the boundary. We need to stay in the boundary. And as long as we are inside the boundary, we are free people. Free to live, free to come and go, free to do as we please. But if you cross the boundary, you could and you will lose your freedom. Oh, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., one of the wisest men that ever lived, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, I am free to stand up here and move my arms all I want. He said, however, my liberty ends where your nose begins.
Amen.
That's good wisdom right there. My liberty ends where your nose begins. We are free to live and go anywhere we want inside the boundaries. But the minute we cross the boundary, our freedom's in. And somebody needs to inform Annapolis that redefining God's definition of marriage is crossing the boundary. Do you think that those young people that the Babylonians gathered up and carried back to Babylon, do you think that they were happy as they were marching towards Babylon and looking back over their shoulder to see the smoke rising out of their homes? Do you think they were rejoicing when that happened? No, sir. They were no longer free. They were no longer free. Can you see them, hands and feet bound in shackles, marching across the deserts, looking back? But their homes were gone. And all they had to do was listen to the warnings that were given to them by God's man. All they had to do was just listen to the warnings of these prophets and repent. And follow God, and the judgment would have been stayed. And folks, I stand here this morning, 2 days before the election, and I'm crying out like Hosea did, be careful, America. Be careful, Maryland. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Many of you have asked, you've said, Pastor, what do you think's going to happen? I have hope in the American people. I really do. I cannot imagine that all of this six hour wait in line to vote. I can't imagine that is progressive liberalism, Obama enthusiasm. I just can't imagine that it is. I can't. You say, well, the polls. Well, you can't believe the polls. I've told you that. You cannot believe the polls. You say, well, what do we do? You vote. You vote. You go vote. And you pray between now and then. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. Thank God for all of you that came to pray yesterday. God bless you for that. And let's just trust that God is not through with this country yet. Folks, I don't want to be arrested for preaching that homosexuality is a sin. But if this passes, the day is coming when I will be. Because I guarantee you, or as we say down in the mountains of West Virginia, I guarantee told you that as soon as it becomes illegal, I'm going to do it. On purpose. Because they can change the law, but they can't change this law. And I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have this God smiling at me than have O'Malley smiling at me. So let's trust in the Lord. You know, there's a great old hymn, and we sing it without really paying attention to it, but trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be, what's the next word?
Happy.
There you are. To be happy in Jesus. See, you say, well, I just want to be happy. Stay in the boundary.
Amen.
Stay in the boundary. You got all the freedom to do whatever you want to do in the boundary. In the boundary. It's when you get outside the boundary that the troubles come. Let's pray for our state. I love it here. I love Maryland. I love Maryland. I don't want to see God. I don't want to see Maryland get on God's bad side any more than she already is.